I'm supposed to preach this morning. I would like to invite William, but I'm not going to do it because it would take all of my time. How many countries were you in? 3 different countries in Asia, and he just got back. Welcome back, brother. And Faith Promise helped him as well. And we just, if you haven't been committed to Faith Promise, well, all you have to do is when you, in addition to your tithes, we'll just place that amount and say Faith Promise, and it'll go to missions. And we just appreciate you all being here. You're a good-looking group. It was better with the children there. We do kind of change a little bit each week, hopefully each year, each decade. I don't know when it changes. You just look at those old pictures and realize who was that. And Frank was at my house helping Charlotte, and he saw that picture of the piano, and he said, "That's Desi Arnaz, isn't it?" Well, in those days, with my hair the way it was, people did, and me speaking Spanish all the time, they wondered where Lucy was. But anyway, and now I've got to preach after this. Okay. God bless all of you. The Lord placed this week a message in my heart, just 4 words. And when I came into the prayer meeting on Friday night, there was such a powerful presence of the Lord, and I had had such a long and tiring week and difficulties that I just... But Brother Pastor Philip said this. He said, "You'll get out of this tonight what you put into it." And I said, "Well, I don't feel like putting anything into it. I feel like going and laying down back there and telling people I was slain in the spirit." But I'm going to do it. So I began to pursue the Lord in prayer, in worship, in praise, and the burden lifted. And all of a sudden, this message started coming to me so fast. I ran up there and I found a blank piece of paper, and I came, and I don't know what they thought I was doing up here, but I'd pray a little bit and I'd write a little bit, and I'd pray a little bit and I'd write something else down. So I don't know. I've got limited time this morning to share what God put in my heart, but I want you to turn, first of all, to Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. That's my text today. And it says, "So I sought for a man among them that would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." You know, there's some encouraging things in the scripture, but there's some very sad things in the scripture as well. Like Jesus crying over Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered you unto me as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not." Or like Isaiah 5, it says, "What more could I have done? I planted it in a choice field, and it's supposed to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. What more could I have done? I've got to tear it down." Well, this is one of those scriptures. It says that I wanted people to stand in the gap. And that's what my message is today, standing in the gap. Standing in the gap. Making up a wall in behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. So why did God want to destroy the land? As I looked into the background, I backed up to verse 1 of chapter 22. And I'm just going to tell you what I saw in those multitude of verses there. Ezekiel prophesies against a bloody city filled with idolatry. Now, as I talk about this, I want you to think about the United States of America and what it should be and what it's not. A bloody city filled with idolatry. You don't even have to have those images that you're bowing before. We can have idols in our lives in various forms. We can have idols in our lives, an idol of materialism, an idol of success, an idol of pride. We can have various forms of idols in our lives. He says a bloody city. When we look at the abortion that's going on every day and every week and almost every minute of every hour, we realize what a bloody country we've become. A nation that has become a mockery and a reproach to all nations. I truly believe that in God's mind, He gave us this country so that we would be able to lead the world in right ways and values and so on. But do you think it's becoming a mockery and a reproach to all nations? It says, "You have oppressed the foreigners." I wrote this out before I knew that Brother Mark was going to come up and say those things this morning. But to oppress the foreigners, you've disrespected fathers and mothers. A loss of respect for authority. You've mistreated the orphans. You have despised holy things, and you've profaned the Sabbath. And so we recognize that that's just a summary of those verses there. And yet we can see how all of that is so true today in our own country. And so it says that we are to stand in the gap. What is a gap? Well, I was involved in a prayer seminar, and they were talking about the need for prayer each morning, devotion, an hour that changes the world, and they said that they had named their prayer closet the Gap. And one of the neighboring children were visiting, and they said, "What's that?" And the child said, "Oh, it's our Gap." Well, see, it was what it was. It was that place of prayer. The dictionary says it's a break or an opening, perhaps in a fence, a wall, or even a military line. It's a breach. And like we found a gap in the enemy's line of fortifications. And so it's that opening that is there. And it can be a positive thing. It can be a negative thing that is there. How can we be one to stand in the gap? If we are going to say that no one was there, but we want to be that one, we want to be that two, we want to be that team, we want to be that family, we want to be that church that will stand in the gap and will make up the wall and make up the hedge, how can we be the one to stand in the gap? And as I read on down just a few verses before this, 22:30, it says, Ezekiel 22:30, it says, "Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so I am profaned among them." I believe I would say in this passage of Scripture that we are to stand in the gap for holiness. Now, holiness can have various forms, and through the years, well, there's been churches called holiness churches, and there's been preachers that were holiness preachers. But we sang this morning, "Holy, holy, holy, santo, santo." We sang that this morning already. But it can be that which would be considered legalism. But be careful with the word legalism, because there are some things that maybe have no scriptural value that people want to put on you. But I want to tell you something. You will never get away from what the Word of God says. This is our basis for true holiness. And it's that which will bring honor to God. It will not profane the Word of God. I'm very much disturbed these days over the trend to create a wide gap between the holy and the unholy, that which would be almost considered compromise. It would be that which would be like that we can just tolerate this and maybe it'll go away. Or we've got to be more accepting. Now, I totally believe in long-suffering and giving mercy and the unbeliever not understanding the ways of the Lord and the need for to find a way, a plan for them to come into the kingdom of God without being pushed away. I totally believe that we'd accept everyone as they are. But then at this altar, they're changed and they go away different. And even if they slip and fall, we're a compassionate people that is there for them and picks them up. But we cannot be so tolerant of sin that anything goes. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is there. And the Holy Spirit will speak to us and it will let us know. You see, they say that if you put a frog in a boiling pot of water, it would jump out. But if you start with cold water and just little by little, well, it just gets warmer and warmer, that eventually that frog will die at being boiled to death without ever knowing that it's there. And that's what we have got to do. If we're going to make a stand for holiness, we're going to have to say, this is the Word of God. These are the principles set forth in God's words. I cannot adapt the values of the world. I have got to go according to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that is here. I can truly say this, that my values are not for sale at any price. Now, there may be a difference in personal conviction of one and personal conviction of another, but we still have to go back. What does the Word of God say? What does the Holy Spirit say? What can we get an amen from the Holy Spirit about the activities of our lives? And we have got to make a stand for holiness, and we can stand in the gap between the growing trend of even a Christianity that is moving away from godliness into worldliness, when we are the people that can make the difference. And it all takes place in our own lives that is there. That would be, what are we going to stand for? What are we going to stand against? As I went on in my thinking, as standing in the gap, we need to be able to stand in the gap for each other. There's a lot of hurt and pain in our world today. And we're either going to cause grief or we're going to bring comfort to one another. The scripture is, I've been using several weeks now, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As we begin to be able to stand in the gap for each other, we're going to have a ministry of comfort. What is comfort? Comfort is to come alongside another person. Comfort is to feel their pain and be with them. There's a great need to understand what you might think and what you ought to say. Most of the time, you don't need to say anything. When I was 12 years old, turning 13, in October, the 4th of October was my birthday. My brother and I had a birthday gathering together. He had just got married, and he went back to Bible college, going to be a missionary. And the morning of the 8th, his birthday, we got a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning that there had been a wreck coming out of the Metroplex towards the school, and that 5 people had been killed, and one of them was my brother. What a terrible thing for a teenager to go through. First of all, people would say things to me like, "Will you take his place?" You don't ever say that. That plagued me for many years. Another thing is, "Don't you cry. You know, your mother's the one that's going to have a nervous breakdown." Children have grief too. I went to school on Monday morning. This happened on a Thursday. We had a funeral at Southwestern in front of the whole school. I was in that very room this past week where we had that funeral. And then we had another funeral in Tyler on Saturday, Sunday, and on Monday I go to school. I'm over in the gym, and we're doing our exercises, and it's side straddle hop, you know. I'm not going to try to do it this morning. But all of a sudden, he stopped. He said, "Hey, you the one that your brother got killed this week?" I said, "Yes, sir." "I thought that might be you." "Okay, go back to back." You know, I was so crushed. I mean, it was like the wrong thing to do, the wrong thing to say. But we have to realize that most of the time, we don't need to say anything. We don't even need to bring up the subject. We just need to be there and say, I'm with you and I'm for you. We need to stand in the gap for people going through trouble, going through pain. Stand in the gap. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to be in the visitor's room at the prison when the wives or the mothers come in and they're all in that same need for someone to be there? There was a time that the Department of Corrections, the warden over there, said no more free will people at all to come in. So I wasn't able to do my ministry there. And I thought, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? I said, well, I can get a pass to go to the visitor's room. So I would go into the visitor's room, and I would still see many of the inmates that I was working with there. And I was standing in the gap for them. And so there's ways that we can stand in the gap for each other. It's like Brother Mark said, it's a ministry of compassion as we are there, and we're bearing one another's burdens. We are a friend that is there. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank God for friends, true friends. Did you know with true friends, you don't even have to be together very much? You could be separated by distance, by miles. Jacob and Naomi, I prayed for them every morning, and they were 8,000 miles away, I think. But see, they were still, they knew, that, like he said, they knew they were supported. They knew that there were people that were wrapping their arms around them that were friends. And we need to hold each other up. As I walked in this morning, another scripture popped in my mind, and it's in Exodus, I believe. But it's where that as long as Moses would hold his hands up, well, they would win the battle. But he got so tired of holding his hands up, they finally put a stone there to hold it up, and that wasn't working. And so Aaron and Hur went up there, and they held his hands up. You see what I'm saying this morning? They stood in the gap for Moses. They held his hands up so that he was able to continue to hold his hands up. And God was able to do that. He ran out of strength himself. He needed his brothers. He needed someone else. And we are not into it ourselves. Why did we pray for these people this morning? So you could stand in the gap for them, so they would know they're not alone, that they're sent forth and they are there. You're going to be involved in pain in people's lives. You're going to experience some times where that they have fallen into sin, or their children have fallen into sin, or their acquaintances, or they themselves. What is our response to that? Should it be like we do on the news each night? Did you see that? I can't believe that. You know, can you let, I'm going to call someone and tell them what I just heard. Is that the right response? You know what the right response is? Grief and intercession. Grief means that I'm sharing your pain, I'm sharing your hurt, I'm sharing your sorrow. And intercession is, I'm not going to talk about it, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to be able to say, Lord, I want you to pray for the person that's hurting and the person that's fallen, and I want you to lift them up. So we need to stand with one another in times of trouble. We need to be a church that stands in the gap. I believe that this is a message today that's prophetic to this church. It's prophetic that if we don't stand in the gap, God's going to take away the anointing. He's going to take away the glory. He's going to take away the purpose of why we're even here, because we are to be a church that stands in the gap for others. And as I would say that, another time we need to stand in the gap is in evangelism. Think about it. You've got heaven up here waiting. You've got Jesus who gave his life on the cross. And you've got sinners out here that are there. Oh, I just thank God for Adopt-A-Block. I didn't feel like coming yesterday. I had been so up the night before at the prayer meeting and a difficult week, but we came. And Jason said, oh, Joe and Charlotte are here. Would you take this block? So I go over there and he said, if you'll go down there, I'll meet you down there. And I was just driving along, and Charlotte said, park under a shade tree. And as I parked under that shade tree, I looked over, and there was a man getting his mail out of the box. Now, that's much better than knocking on his door and wondering if you're waking him up or whatever. And I just got out of the car quickly and said, hey, I'm Joe. We're with Dream Center, Adopt-A-Block, and I just wanted to say how you're doing. And we started a conversation that went on and on and on and on. And And he told me about getting robbed and hit in the head and a man getting 75 years for it. And we listened to him, and I said, "Can I pray with you?" "Oh, yes, please do." And I prayed with him. We went on down the block, and in a little bit, well, he comes by in his pickup and honks and waves. What happened? I stood in the gap, and God arranged that just for that purpose, a divine appointment. They're everywhere, folks, where that we can stand in the gap, we can make up the hedge, we can be there so that they will not be destroyed, like this scripture says, so that they will be redeemed and restored and saved and brought forth as God's purpose. There's a scripture that came to me about a gap that's bigger than any gap I've ever seen. It's in Luke 16:26. In fact, it says, "And besides all this, between us and there is a great gap, a great gulf, it's called fixed. So those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from here pass to us." Let's never forget the reality of eternity. The obituary, a tornado, a tsunami, a hurricane. Yesterday, a convoy of vans coming from Louisiana for some activity here in Tyler, going back, had a blowout. The van turned over and one young man was killed. They all went to the hospital. I don't know if those youth were ready to meet the Lord. You can be in church and not be a Christian. You can be a faithful member and not have your reservation in heaven. Hell is very real. And this scripture here was Jesus speaking. He said, "There was a rich man and there was a beggar. And the beggar sat at his gate. And the dogs came and licked his sores. And the rich man died and went to hell. And Lazarus also died and went to heaven." And in hell, the rich man, in his pain, said, "Oh, Father Abraham." He must have known something. He just rejected the Lord. "Oh, Father Abraham, would you send some water to touch my tongue? I'm tormented in these flames." You don't hear much hell preaching anymore, but it's real. "Would you just put a drop of water and touch my tongue? I'm tormented in these flames." He said, "There's a great gulf fixed." He said, "Well, would you send someone to my brothers?" He lived like hell in front of them. But now in hell, he wants to keep them from going there. He said, "There's a great gulf fixed, and one cannot go." It's very real. We need to live our lives in light of eternity every day. We need to be that standard and have that stand for holiness, that we will not move into a passivity that says that we'll probably make it. There's a gulf that is there, and we can stand in the gap. We can make up the hedge in evangelism because we can go out there and make a difference. We can go and be a witness in front of others. We can go and to where the person says, "What must I do to be saved?" as the jailer did to Paul and Silas. That's a gap that is there. And we can stand in the gap in evangelism. There's something else that's happening in our world. And our president is calling it the new norm. The new norm. We've got to get used to debt. We've got to get used to this. And you take that on. We've got to get used to homosexuality and lesbianism and cross gender and all of those things. Recently, there was news about a baby that had been born, and the family was not going to reveal whether it was a male or a female child because they wanted the child to decide later what it was. Now, that's the gap. And if that's the new norm, I don't want the new norm. I want the Word of God that is there. And there's another thing that's happening in our country is that for the first time since Israel became a nation, our country is turning against Israel. And we will not be blessed. There will be a curse if we don't do this. They're wanting them to go back to their original borders. I saw an email, I don't know if it's true or not, from the Prime Minister that said, okay, let's do that. Let's go back to Hawaii and turn them back to their original borders and take away their statehood. You see what I'm saying? Now, we as a church, we've been there. 17 of us last November were there. And we have got to pray for Israel. We've got to stand in the gap for Israel. We have got to love the Jewish people. Oh, how I would love to be able to have people in this church that were seekers of Yeshua HaMashiach that would be coming just to view us and to see why that we get excited about this one. This week, I was at a conference and there was a booth there from the very place that we went to our service in the congregation on the Sabbath there in Israel. They had a booth there, and I was talking with him about our guide that was so close but yet could not really commit himself that Jesus was the Messiah. He said, ask him this. He said, are you a sinner? Well, yes. Do you sin? Well, yes. I do too. What do you do about your sin? Do you kill a bull and get the blood out like the scripture says? No. You know why you don't have to? Because Yeshua, Jesus, did that for us. He did that for us. And He shed the blood for us. See, there are people out there that just don't understand. There's a wall that is there against the communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet we can be the ones that stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and we're able there to let them know, let them understand that there is hope in Jesus and that they can be saved and they can be set free. We're to be those that stand in the gap in intercession. That is why that we have prayer on Wednesday night, and we have intercession here on Sunday morning. Intercession is that one that says, I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to pray for others. There's many forms of prayer. This 1 hour of prayer has 12 different things we can pray for, but it begins with worship. It ends with worship, but the most unselfish form of prayer is intercession. It's not supplication, which says, Lord, I need this. But intercession is prayer for others. It's reaching out for others. Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, even who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. We have an intercessor. He's standing in the gap for us. And that's an example for us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Back in the early years, when the Lord was calling me into the ministry just a little bit of time. For a while, I was doing what I was supposed to do, but there was a transition that was there. Brother Sluter, it was over at Glad Tidings. Brother Sluter was one of our pastors there at one time. And this sister came up to me. She said, Brother Joe, I just want to tell you, for the last 2 months, I have prayed for you every day. There's just a heavy burden that you needed prayer. I began to weep. I said, Sister, this last 2 months has been the most difficult 2 months of my life. Thank you so much. How did she know that? Well, the Holy Spirit told her that. What did she do about it? She stood in the gap for Joe and Charlotte. I want to read you part of an email from a guy named Tom Arne. I've never met him. I don't know where he lives. I just know that I got an email. He said, the Lord has laid a burden on me to pray for you. For you and the Ministry of Calvary Commission. And if you'll just let me know your needs, I'm going to intercede for you. Joe and Charlotte Foss, just a short note to let you know that I prayed for you this morning. I prayed that God would bless you with His infinite wisdom and strength in your life. That God would touch the hearts of the prisoners and open their eyes up to the salvation of Jesus. That God would give you the words to speak hope and salvation into their lives. There is hope. I just did it again. That God would guide you in working with the parole officers. That God would change the lives of the prisoners in ways that everyone will see. That God would build the students into staff. That God would bring in the funding needed for the training. That God would call more men and women to help spread the gospel message. That God would protect all believers in Israel. That God would continue the work started in Cuba and build up the chaplains there. That God would touch the children's homes in Mexico. That God would anoint you with His Holy Spirit every day. That God would keep you sensitive to the leading of His Holy Spirit. That God would keep you safe from all harm and temptation and keep you in great health. I don't know this person. There was a time that we started out with great favor with the parole board because there was only two officers in all of Smith County, and they had a little office in the bottom of the courthouse by the jail. And one of the officers got a letter saying this inmate wanted to come to Teen Challenge where we were at. And he told me, said, I don't know, maybe he's always acted like the people around him. If he'd act like you, well, if he'd get around your people, maybe he'll act right. So he sent him here. He was so impressed with the change in that young man's life that we developed a relationship that existed for many years because this man was blessed. He was promoted. He finally became in charge of all of the parole offices from Texarkana to Beaumont, the whole region. One, he was a parole officer of. There was a time that I said to him, you know, if there's any way, holidays are very difficult for our people. And they have to see those that aren't on parole go to Mexico. Whereas the others have to be put off at their homes and where there's drinking and so on. I so wish they could go with us. He said, Joe, I believe in what you're doing. Said, as long as they're with you, I'm going to let them go. And for many years, our people were able to go into Mexico. Then there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. and it turned opposite. I mean, it was like that someone would come in and they would say, you may not like it out there. If you don't, let me know and I'll get you out of there. Now, that was a work of the enemy. But this brother Tom prayed against that. And the day came when things changed. Tomorrow, Patrick and Cindy will be sitting around a table over at Spring Creek Barbecue with the parole officers, with the head of the parole, and we sit there and we talk about how we can help Tyler, what we can do. Other agencies are there. And from that meeting came a relationship to where that as we prayed, and as Tom here continued to pray, well, it changed. And a director came in and said, I love programs. I want to talk to you how we can work together. Then she said, I'll show you how to write the letter. We'll get those guys back in Mexico. And now for about three times, they've been able to go back. Hallelujah. Now, if you'll stand in the gap for others, you've got a reward. Look what 1 Samuel 30:24 says. I mean, David had sent those into battle. They'd come back, and they had all this plunder. And those that stayed back and watched the supplies wanted a part of it. And those that went said, no, it's ours. But what did David say? For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall be his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. And so the reward is there for those who intercede. The reward is there for those that are unknown, like Tom Arne. He doesn't know I'm saying this morning. But the reward is there because he is part of the victory. Yes, the governor can give you an award and you can put it on the wall, but it's not you that did it. It's those people that were there, that stood in the gap, that were there for you. So I challenge you to become a friend, a real friend. a friend that is there, that has integrity, that is there to bless and edify and not put down. We can be friends of God. We can stand in the gap for Him. John 15:14 says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." Standing in the gap. Now I want to tell you about someone that stood in the gap. His name is Jesus. And there was a great gulf that was fixed between the sinner and salvation. And the blood of goats and bulls could not meet that requirement. But Jesus said, "I will go." In the Garden of Gethsemane, I don't believe he was praying against going. He was praying that he wouldn't be killed before he could do it, because he wanted to be the willing sacrifice. He wanted to be the one that was there, that willingly gave himself for us. The one that substituted himself for our sins, that our sins can be forgiven, and that we will be able to have that inheritance of salvation and that residency in heaven throughout eternity. Jesus stood in the gap for us when he said, "Let not this cup pass from me. I will go. I will go. I will do it." He still stands in the gap for us. The scripture said that he is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He is praying. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer in Jesus, you're not walking in the ways of the Lord, he is praying right now in heaven for your salvation. He knows you already. You don't have to hide things from him. He already knows all about it. He knows your sins. He knows your weaknesses. But he has great faith in who you can become. And he is at the right hand of the throne praying for you. If you're a believer and you've been in that gap this morning, that would be there like you have been growing colder like the frog. You don't know it, but you're being boiled to death because you're taking on the ways of the world and you're little by little going away. You know, backsliding is not just a one-time event. It's little by little by little by little by little. It's, "Well, I used to pray, but I don't anymore. I used to read, but I don't anymore. I used to not go here, but I do now. I do this. I want to do this. I want to..." Little by little. But Jesus is at the throne at the right hand of God, and he's praying for you to come back to him with a fervency, with a growth, with a desire to serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. Randy and Patrick, would you come? If you're here this morning and you're going through a very difficult time in your life, Jesus knows your every need.